Almost Relevant, Episode 7.
Hello and welcome to the Almost Relevant Podcast, where we delve into any rabbit hole, no matter how deep. The podcast for everything nerdy and geeky. I'm Elliot Lee.
And I'm Jeremy Collier. In today's episode, we take a look at technology's impact on society, especially when it comes to children. Today, we are once again joined by a father of two who is no stranger to the effect of technology on children, John. If you remember, he joined us a few weeks ago for the Marvel licensing episode. How you doing, John?
Good. How are you?
Good, good.
I'm fine.
Oh, how you doing, Elliot?
I'm fine.
Again, thank you for joining us once again for another episode. And before we get into our topic, how you doing this week? Having a good week?
Still kind of cold.
It is a little cold.
A little bit chilly.
Yeah, it is. Well, it's winter, so. How about you, Elliot? Anything new? Anything going on?
School is interesting, as always.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Which will this will tie into our topic.
Elliot, so the reason I picked this topic to have John on is for the obvious reason, as I said. He is a father of two boys, two rugrats, who are now 9 and 6. I work with middle school children, 6th, 7th, and 8th grade.
And I go to school with children, yes. Even though they're technically college age. But I mean, yeah.
Same difference.
Yeah, close enough.
Well, yeah. So, and I think we all three have a very unique look on this subject. Not only because all three of us grew up with technology, and we've seen the rise of technology that happened between the mid-80s to the... Well, to current, but to the mid-2000s, like 2005 or so, is when I feel like it started to peak off a little bit. And as technology does keep growing, I feel like it's slowed down. And
so logistics function.
Yeah.
Yay, math.
And again, with that, I do feel like we all three have a unique perception of how it's affecting our youth. Because we're not getting any younger. We're all right around the 30-year-old mark.
Turning 30 sucked.
I love turning 30. How about you, John?
I got 2 years to go.
Yeah.
So let's just start by saying, let's start by looking back at our own lives and think about how technology affected us when we were young. For me and Elliot, I'm assuming it was the same. We grew up with the only technology I really grew up with in my youth, like in my first 5 or 10 years of living, was video games and TV.
Yeah, more or less. The original NES and a whole lot of TV. I watched a ton of TV when I was a kid.
See, so you had mentioned before the show that TV was somewhat of a babysitter for you.
Yeah, more or less. Just parents just parked me in front of the TV and it took care of me. I mean, it's probably not the most interactive form of parenting. I'm not really blaming them or anything like that, but that's what they did. They just park me in front of the TV and just turn on some cartoons, and I was good.
Interesting. How about you, John?
I think the same way. I think I grew up watching a lot of cartoons. I mean, Tom and Jerry, the whole Cartoon Network before it went crazy now. Ooh. But
Cartoon Network, that's fancy.
Oh, yeah. But I remember watching that. And
Youngin.
And I grew up, you know, playing the, like I said, the original Nintendo and Xbox, but
and it's yeah. Well, more Xbox you now. Grew up playing the original Xbox. Wow, you're only a couple years younger than us, John. Come on now.
Not as much exposed to games as because I was, you know, into mostly toys than actual video games or, like I said, either toys or watching TV.
Yeah, and so for me, TV was obviously ever present, but TV was for me, at least what I can remember, was less of a babysitter and more of a social event. Which is kind of funny because TV isn't, and movies really are not. I mean, you could like, oh, let's have a party and watch something nowadays, but TV. I'd say there's 3 times that I watched TV throughout the week. The first is cartoons, and I'd usually watch those either in the morning when I'm getting ready for school. That was the only time, really, I watched TV alone. After school, this is when I was really young. This is elementary school and before. So after school, when I was in elementary school, my grandparents would pick me up, and I'd watch cartoons with my grandparents. Okay, so that's kind of an interesting dynamic. My grandparents never cared, but they always watched it for me.
Right.
And then the third time...
I kind of understand that, because I wanted people to watch with me while I was young.
Yeah, yeah. And the third main time I watched TV was either at night or on the weekends with my parents. And it'd be what they wanted to watch. We always had, and up until I was, oh, I don't know, 16, 17, and even then, into my 20s, it was like this, a Saturday night movie with my parents. And it would be my parents and my brother until he moved out. It was always like every Saturday until my brother started going out with friends. We would watch a movie together. So it was a social. It was a family. It was a bonding moment for us.
Almost like a tradition.
It was almost like a tradition. I didn't have very much, as far as I remember, like putting in front of the TV and being babysat. It was always with my mom, you know, or something. As I got a little older, I would try my hardest to watch TV with my brother, if no one else. Some of the shows that come back to mind are Dragon Ball Z and Sailor Moon and Robotech. Those were the three shows that me and my brother watched a lot of.
So I have to ask then, do you still kind of like yearn to watch TV with other people?
Yeah. Yeah. I even, like, to go further with that, before my dad passed away, some of the time, only times I would watch certain things would be with him. And it's like I enjoyed watching them when I'm with him, but I had absolutely no desire to watch it without him.
It's kind of interesting because I'm the opposite, since I was just kind of parked in front of the TV and more or less watched things alone. I get kind of annoyed when I watch things with other people.
That's something I can definitely see.
I partially agree with that.
Yeah.
Especially if they talk. They talk as just like, shut up.
Yeah, I try not.
I'm trying to watch.
I try not to talk during anything. You know, sometimes you do, though. I mean, whatever. But, yeah, no, I think that even now with... So, Elliot over here, he mentions... He went through a phase a couple months ago. He says he hasn't watched much recently. We were talking about before the show. But where he was watching a lot of movies, and it was movie, you know, buying a lot of movies.
I was acquiring through legal means, practically had like a little mini marathon, and just went through and watched a bunch of more or less recent movies.
Yeah, within the last couple years or.
Yeah, and just to kind of catch up in a sense. And it may have had something to do with the fact that at that period, I was in a media studies class, which is more like a film analysis type of thing.
Yeah.
So maybe that kind of prompted the desire to watch a bunch of movies.
And you mentioned you would recommend a lot of movies to me. And I would always tell you, oh, I'll get to it.
Yeah.
And the main reason that I was like that is because I don't like watching new stuff alone. So most of the time, it'd be like, oh, I'll put that on my list of things to watch with my wife, you know, and then it comes down to it and we don't have much time to watch. So we don't watch things. The majority of the TV I watch or TVs or movies I watch while I'm not with her is reruns or things I've already seen. And the majority of things we watch together are things that neither of us have seen. So that's kind of like an interesting dynamic too. So to go along with that, let's touch a little on growing up with video games. Video games were more of a babysitter for me than TV. And I think that was just the dynamic. My dad was a gamer before we were born. He had the Atari, the original Atari. He had the Atari computer. And then when my brother was really young, my grandpa bought my brother an Atari and me. So we had an Atari at home. We had an Atari at my grandparents' house. And then we went up through Sega Master System. We had Sega Genesis, and then just went from there. Another interesting aspect of this is it was a form of babysitting, but it wasn't me playing. I like to watch other people play. So it would be the same kind of dynamic as movies. I hated playing alone when I was a kid.
Because you were the younger...
yeah.
You know, like me, I was watching my brother play video games.
I think it was partly that, but even now... Yeah. It's only been the last couple of years where I've gone, about 8 years now, but where I'm actually comfortable turning on a game and playing by myself. Because, like I said, my dad was a gamer. So I watched many, many, he was a hardcore role-playing game gamer too, like JRPGs. So, you know, the games would take 80 to 100 hours. So there'd be times where I got home from school, he'd get home from work, and he'd turn on the, you know, Genesis or whatever. And our entertainment for the night while I ate dinner and everything was actually not just watching TV, but watching him play the video game. So that was that's an interesting thing. And it turned into my brother playing a lot, or us playing co-op. Then you said you watched your brother a lot. Yeah. I don't think you had that experience.
No, actually, I did. Oh, okay. Not my oldest brother, my next brother. So when I was really young, I'm talking like maybe between 4 and 9, uh-huh, somewhere around there. This was back still on the original NES, and I don't know. I really liked watching him play. I don't know what it was about it. It's just maybe, I guess, in a sense, I wasn't really very good at a lot of games, so it was more enjoyable to watch him succeed at a game than to personally fail at a game.
That's really interesting. I could see that, because I think that was the same kind of reason that I never played any of the role-playing games that my dad played, was because he was good, and I couldn't figure out a lot of the things he did.
Right. Yeah, I mean, there's still a lot, like, I mean, there have been a couple times I would, like, actually go on YouTube and look up some, like, playthroughs of the old school games, like, was Legend of Zelda on NES, and there are just so many, like, secrets in that. I'm just like, how did you figure that out? I don't...
Seriously.
I, like, you know, 25 years later, I still don't get how you figure that out.
No, I agree. There is a lot. And I think going along with that... So for me, I was kind of, for lack of a better word, traumatized with gaming. Because my dad was playing a game, role-playing game. I accidentally deleted his save.
Oh.
My dad was like a little mad, but whatever, you know, he was fine. I was just, I'm never touching I didn't touch another video game for years. So
3.5 days later.
Yeah, 3.5 days later, yeah. So let's move on to other technologies. Computers?
Alright, I'll start with this one. That's one I definitely bridged from console games to computers, which was probably right around 94, 95. And I remember, like, I don't really remember the first video games, but the first one I can remember was Doom.
Okay. And pretty popular.
Yeah. So just like the original Doom, and that was really what transitioned, I guess, my life into more of the computer aspect of things, where, you know, my computer is generally my primary form of entertainment, as far as technology goes, but also I want to say that's where my life got steered towards, because that's also my major, computer science.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's just, I'm a computer guy. That's the kind of guy I am.
And that's interesting you say that, because I'm a very, very much of a computer guy. And I'd say equally, this year's been an exception because of the PlayStation 4, but I'd say I'm pretty equal in playing console versus PC for gaming. I didn't have my first computer until I was a little older. I'd say I was, So you said you got your first computer when you were about 10 then?
Somewhere around there. About 10. Well, okay, so no, I've had computers before that. I don't even remember how young I was.
That's just when you started gaming on
computers. Yeah, and pretty much once the, like, Windows operating system started coming out, like, I used, like, Windows 3.1.
Yeah.
Like, DOS was something I never really understood. I think I was too young to understand how it worked.
You would use that at school.
DOS?
Or something. I remember.
Oh, yeah, so... Yeah. Well, okay.
Not for gaming.
Yeah. No, just in general. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, yeah, I used, like, old school, like, just, like, the green screen computers,
yeah,
for homework when I was a little kid. I'm, like, stuck in third grade, you know, if I had to type something up.
Okay,
and so... And that was just a horrific experience.
So that's what I'm talking about. You just said something that I never experienced. You had the green screen computers to do your homework with when you were little.
Right.
First computers I ever had access to had Windows 3.1. That was at school. All of a sudden, each classroom had a computer. And then my first computer, I think I don't even want to say it was... I guess it was Windows 95, but it wasn't much before 98 came out, which was actually in 97. So I'd say my first computer was around the time I was about 11 or so, and then 11 or 12, and then soon after, but I didn't do much on that computer. Like my school, I never did any homework on it or anything like that. How about you? What about growing up with computers, John?
Mostly for gaming. And I remember playing it some games at school, like the learning games.
Yeah, like I played, like there was like a...
Like the Hunter.
Oh, no. I forgot what it was. Okay, so there was one.
Oregon
was
Trail. A typing game. Yeah.
It was like a typing
Mavis
game.
Mavis Beacon?
Huh?
It was Mavis Beacon.
I don't remember. And there was this other game. It was... So we had Macs at school. We didn't have PCs. And, oh god, I can't, like, it's actually, I was actually trying to remember this, like, last summer, like, what the name of that game was called, and I just can't for the life of me remember. It was like a, kind of like a puzzle game, almost like an RPG, in a sense. And you'd have to, like, unlock gates by answering math problems or English problems.
Oh, I think I remember that. Was that Mac?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, because,
Wow, just interesting.
In my school district, they went with Macs. But yeah, I can't remember the name of that game. Like, I still can see it in my head. Like, my mental image of it, it's still there. And I can't remember what it was called. And I remember that was one of my favorite, like, days. Because there were two Macs in the classroom. And two people each day got to do that for, like, an hour or two. And when it came my turn, I was like, oh, yes! Finally.
That's interesting.
Because that one, I didn't really have to pay attention in class. I got to play a game, even though it was an educational game. It was still, you know, I got to play a game instead of, you know, actually doing classwork.
Yep.
I think my first memory of a video game was Counter-Strike. When I first
got that explains a lot, because you are, even to this day, you're a huge Counter-Strike fan.
I mean, yeah, that was the first PC game I've ever played, because I never... Yeah, I think it's when it first came out, I was playing... Counter-Strike, a bunch of people. I think that's why I'm leaning towards PC games over consoles, and I lean towards more co-op than anything else.
Mm-hmm. So, did you not really use your computer for school very much?
We did school.
Well, I mean, eventually, it's mostly for learning.
I don't remember using it for, like I said, the Mavis Beacon. I remember that one, but nothing like, there wasn't much computers, I think.
Okay, so it sounds like what we're basically saying is, although it differed slightly, like you used it more for educational.
Initially, yes.
I'm talking about when you first used it. Right. And younger than us. What age do you think you had your first computer?
Probably around 11 or 12.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, Elliot, you seem like you got exposed to computers a little earlier than us.
Right.
And we also used it initially more for the gaming / non-educational, mm-hmm. non-school education. Because I use it for educational. I loved going on like the encyclopedias and stuff, but I didn't use it for school.
Right.
Until, I want to say mid high school.
I remember using computers for school until high school.
I remember using Encarta 95.
Yeah, I had Encarta 95 too. It came with my first computer.
Technology.
The CD.
Because I remember the books.
So it seems like we basically all had pretty similar experiences. Thinking about that now, before we get into children today, let's go ahead and talk about where that has led us compared to the generation before us, aka either our older brothers or our parents. My older brother, mm-hmm. and he's somewhat of an exception, but I feel like. If you're 30 right now, mm-hmm. you are on like the top of the wave of that technology rush. Any older, and it's a little less. Maybe your brother was different because you also had it younger. So maybe your brother had it too.
No, because I mean the thing is the age gap. I mean my brother is 10 years older than me. So I mean if he was maybe like 4 years, there was like a 4 or 5 year difference. Yeah. But 10 years.
What about your sister?
She's the oldest.
I always forget which way it goes with those two.
Yeah, my sister's the oldest, so I am, you know, just out of respect, I'm not going to disclose her age or the gap. But, I mean, no, I remember she had, like, one of those, not like the early Macs, but like the early 90s Macs, when it was, like, not...
The original iMacs. No, that was...
No. That was late 90s, I think.
No.
Okay, I'm talking about just, like, the... it was a rectangular box, but it didn't have like a built-in keyboard. It was a keyboard you had to actually plug in and all that. One button mouse. It kind of had color, but not really. It was just kind of bluish, like a bluish tint to it.
Okay.
So, if you could find a picture.
You're not talking about the G3s. Okay.
No, long before that.
Okay, you're right, though. This was 98.
Yeah, I'm talking about the ones that like only had a 3.5-inch floppy drive. No CD drive.
Okay, well, let's...
But, yeah, I remember, you know, she had that, because that was when she was in college.
Oh, you're talking about these. Yeah, I do take it back that my school did have a few of these, but we rarely ever used them. Yeah,
that's what I used in elementary school.
To everyone know, it's literally the old school ones that were all-in-ones except for the mouse and keyboard. Oh, no, I guess a lot of them weren't all-in-ones, but it could do nothing except for typing and a few games.
Yeah,
and,
just very basic.
You know. Like a paint program, usually.
Yeah. So my sister had something like that for college. My brothers... didn't really... I mean, they were at the point where, I guess, computers weren't really prevalent enough that most high school students at the time really had access to them, nor were they really required to have one.
Okay.
Required to have access to one.
So that's... And he said he was 10 years older?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that kind of goes with... So that's interesting, because my brother... I was a freshman when he was a senior.
Right.
And our school... So I think our high school just got a computer lab either when he was a senior or when he was a junior. So the impact on technology on him is way different than it is on me. Because I feel like even though it's only 3 years difference, that, you know, as where I got exposed to computers at school when I was in, say, 5th, 6th grade... You know, he didn't get exposed to computers till he's, say, in late junior high or early high school. And he didn't get access to a computer lab until either his second to last or last year in school. So my brother, he's very different. I think you can agree with your brother because they're about the same age. Mm-hmm. That even though your brother embraces technology more than mine does, my brother is kind of like... He doesn't rely on technology like we do.
Right.
Like, for example, I pay every single one of my bills except for my rent online. Are you guys the same, pretty much?
Well,
95% of the time, yes.
Huh?
95%,
probably. 95, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have a whole lot of bills, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, I tried right and doing the whole, like, you know, paper and check thing. I'm just like, why am I doing this?
Yeah.
This sucks.
As where my brother, like, he's late on bills because... He lost his statement that he got in the mail. And it's like, well, why don't you just go online and pay it? Oh, I never set that up, you know, kind of thing. Also, like, TV, technology. It's like, yeah, he has a big screen TV now, but he just got that 2 years ago. As where I've had my current big screen TV for over 3 years, and that's like my third one or something like that. You know? So... That it's that generational gap that they didn't grow up with the dependency on technology like we did. And we only grew up with a minor dependency on technology.
Right. Yeah, I think we're kind of in an interesting spot just for that. Now, like one of my friends from a while back, he kind of mentioned that, you know, even though he's a few years older than I am, that we're kind of like the last group that still that playing meant going outside.
That's... Did you just read my mind for the perfect transition?
Sure, because we're running the same, you know.
Yeah, we're running the same, yeah. So, that's a perfect transition into what the next thing I was going to say is, because I work with middle schoolers. So, we'll start with that. And I work with mostly 6th and 7th grade, so that's 11 and 12-year-olds, a few 13-year-olds. And start out by saying that almost every single one of them has a phone. Or tablet, but most of them have smartphones. Which I think is just the norm now. I mean, that's about the age you start getting, about 7th grade. So a lot of them have in 6th grade, but it's like by 8th grade, everybody has a cell phone. Smartphone. And I work in an area that's low-income area, and they still have cell phones. So it's really amazing to me. Our classrooms, so this is a positive aspect. Our classrooms are fitted with built-in projectors, built-in smart boards. We can hook up our computer straight to the wall, and it projects everything we need. Speaker systems. And like I said, this is a low-income school district. And every single classroom has this. So that's a huge benefit to education. If I want to show a video, I don't have to cart in that old cart with the TV strapped to the top.
Oh, I remember those.
Yeah. Or the Laserdisc player with it, too.
VHS.
Yeah, VHS or anything. Or even DVD player. But yeah. Now it's like I can do anything digitally for my students. And that aspect is great. But I'll tell you something. We went – so I my the school I worked for was working closely with Google. And we actually went to Google every Tuesday with a group of students. During the last meeting, we got a tour of Google. And it involved a lot of walking. But here's the thing. They're 11 and 12-year-old boys and girls, mostly boys, that – I'm out of shape. Let's just say it that way. I'm a big guy. I'm out of shape. But I was not complaining about the walk. We did have to walk a good distance. I'd say 2 miles throughout the whole time we were there. Okay? Not a whole lot, but it's a good amount. These kids were complaining about walking that far. When I was in junior high, I would have never complained. When I was in high school, I walked that every single day. You know, going after school, I'd always walk to my friend's house who was... Sometimes I'd walk to my mom's work and then walk to my friend's house or vice versa, whatever, and it would be at least a mile, if not 2 miles. Never did I complain. Wow. I go outside, kids today, oh, my back hurts, my feet hurts, can we just stop and rest? Oh, I just sat down, can we rest for 5 minutes? Okay, these are a whole group of mostly the boys, too. Mostly the boys who are complaining about this.
Huh.
And it's because, like you just said, when we were young... Going to play meant going outside and being physical. Nowadays, it's mostly sitting in front of TV playing video games or on your phone or chatting, you know, Facebook. That's playing to a lot of these kids.
Yeah, playing was just getting on my bike and just going around in circles.
Exactly. And like I said, I'm out of shape, but I was like, this is nothing, guys. Why are you complaining? And we were going to a really awesome destination, too. It's the Android Park over at the Google main headquarters where they have all the Android statues. And all the kids were looking forward to it, but they complained every second of the way. And when we had to hurry back at the end of the day because we were running late for the bus, oh, they were just like, oh, no, we need to rest. We need to rest. I'm just like, really, kids? This is sad.
You know, so... Not to sidetrack too much, but I remember when I was a freshman in high school.
Rabbit holes.
Yeah, a lot of rabbit holes. When I was a freshman in high school, we went to... So, we did a band trip down to L.A.
Hey, and, me too.
Yeah, so I don't remember what like festival it was or whatever, but of course, when we were down there, we went to Disneyland. And I remember the group that I was hanging out with, they were just hauling ass. Like, oh, you know, we got to get on as many rides as we can before, you know, we have to go. And they're like, you know, and I was, you know, a chubby kid then.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I wasn't very athletic, so I was struggling to keep up. But they were like, you know, running from one ride to the next ride to the next ride. And I'm just like, oh, geez, I'm the slow one. And, you know, by the sounds of it.
Yeah.
You know.
No, you put those kids in an amusement park, and they'd be like, after an hour, they'd be sitting and resting with their phones. Huh. I really, truly believe that, and that's really sad. And
I think it really depends on where you are, I guess.
I want to say that that middle school age, it might not, because that's the age where they really get into that technology.
Well, maybe because, yeah, I don't have that much exposure when it comes to middle-aged kids. Like, most of my kids are...
Middle-aged kids?
The middle school years.
Yeah, middle school age.
Most
kids.
Of my kids are still in elementary.
Yeah, a couple years ago.
So, like, but yeah.
Heed our warning.
Yeah. But, like, you know, us growing up, you know, we're kind of happy to have, like, one console or one game to play.
Yeah.
Now the kids these days have like 5 devices at minimum, maybe.
Yeah, and not only that, but the instant gratification of digital downloads. You know, it's like, oh, I want this game. Oh, I have this game, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's like, if you get bored of a game, especially on smartphones, especially on Android, it's similar on iPhones, but not as much. Android, you can download so many free games that, you know, you get bored with a game, you download the next one. All of a sudden, you played 5-6 games that day, you know, brand new games you never played before, and you've been sitting in front of your phone for 4 hours.
they won't know the struggle of going to Blockbuster. Oh. And it's like, oh no, it's 11:45 and they're going to close in 15 minutes. I need a new game.
Funny story. We were talking about rituals with media and stuff earlier. Not rituals. Yeah. Anyway, so
be kind and rewind.
We were so when the place that I grew up in, it was a small city, Phil, and everybody went to Blockbuster and waited in line on Saturday morning because back then all the new movies were released Saturday morning, not on Tuesday like it is now. So I would get up early and I would be there with my dad or my dad and brother, depending. And we would wait. Well, we would never wait in line. We waited in the car. Because my dad would be like, there's no reason to wait in line. This is stupid. We're going to get in there at the same time as them anyway, you know. So they would let everyone in, and then we'd wait about a minute, and then we'd walk in. Why my dad just didn't, you know, wait in line, I'll never know. But it was one of those funny things. Yeah, like, it's the principle of it. And yeah, so then they'd be like, ooh, the new video game came out, you know. And now it's like, ooh, the new video game came out. Let me just
push the button. I already finished it an hour ago.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Ooh, it's midnight. And that's another thing. Kids these days... with I think this is a part of technology, is they're staying up later too. And I think that's because when we were young, what did we have to stay up late to do? Watch TV.
And cartoon. Well, it depends on which age group you're talking about, but cartoons.
Well, I'm thinking about that 11-year-old age.
Jeez, I was still watching cartoons.
Yeah, so was I.
And, but, you know, yeah.
I like, still watch cartoons now.
Still now, but.
Yeah, but yeah, there's like.
No, we call it anime.
Not a whole lot to, keep you entertained at that age after, like, I don't know, 9, 10.
Yeah, and
it's like,
and,
oh, cool, it's news and talk shows. All right, I'm done.
Yeah, and then once you get a little later into the night, and if you had access to or a little later in age, I mean, and then had access to a phone, maybe you stayed on the phone talking to one friend till 11 o'clock, you know. But now it's like these students are like, I asked some of my students at work, oh, what time do you go to sleep? Oh, I usually go to sleep around midnight. On average, because they're like, oh, you know, I just turn off my lights and I use my phone laying in bed. We didn't have that. We couldn't do that because there's nothing for us to do.
You know, I mean, that also, I was actually thinking about this recently, about how I used to, like, off the top of my head, I can name, like, you know, 6 different people's phone numbers just from memory.
Oh, yeah.
And I can't think of a single other person's phone number. Like, I have my phone number memorized and my... landline memorized.
Yeah.
And that's it. The only reason I have the landline memorized is because we've had it for over 20 years.
That's what I was going to say. I know my mom's, which is because they've had it so long. I know mine, and I know my wife's. That's it.
Yeah, I don't... if I lose my contacts, I'm like, alright, well, I guess... Maybe they'll call me one day, and I'll get, you know...
You can just download it from your Gmail contact.
Yeah. There you go, technology. Yeah. Download your numbers.
It's like, why do I have to remember stuff? They can do it for me.
Yeah, seriously. So, okay, so we're getting kind of close to time, so let's move it back even farther now and look at kids, like young kids. And that would be more your territory, John, since you've been raising kids for the last 9 years. So
I think I've been using technology as, for me, growing up, social. But, yeah, I do remember looking back when I was raising my oldest son, who's now 9, we would put him in front of the TV to watch Little Einsteins for hours.
Yeah.
Just because, you know, I had to work a lot. You know, being a young parent, I had a kid at 18. So, you know, having to raise children at that time is really hard. So TV was the closest thing we have for a babysitter. And it's, you know, James has grown up. My oldest one has grown up now. And he's still really, really dependent on technology, on anything that needs to be charged. He's really dependent on it.
So, but do you see this as like a bad thing, or is just that's just way
at that
way
time,
life is now?
At that time, it was a good thing, but looking back at it, I think I should have limited their exposure to technology, because now they can't last 5 minutes without thinking about technology. I'll tell them to stop playing their DS, and 5 minutes later, I'm bored. I want to do something. It's like they are so overly dependent on technology now. It's kind of like I kind of want to, you know, to kind
of wean them off of it.
Wean them off, or at least get them, like I said, like as Jeremy was saying, get them to play outside more.
Yeah.
I mean, they do now because, like, at least we're getting to know our neighbors.
Yeah.
So they're getting to know the other kids in the neighborhood, so they tend to go out more.
That's good.
But at the same time, I was like, I'm kind of hesitant to let them go out because of what we live in, the world we live in today. Like, you keep hearing all these kids that get kidnapped, they get lost, or...
Well, so here's something, I mean, again, rabbit hole, that I noticed last summer, how there was a lot of, like, reports of kids and animals being left, you know, in cars on hot days. And what I started to wonder was, is this happening more often, or is this just becoming more, like, brought to attention more? Yeah. So same thing, like, with that. It's like, you know, are kids being kidnapped more and, like, you know, being endangered more, or is, are we just more aware of it now?
I think it's just more aware of it
now. Yeah, because
I've never left my kids in the car, but,
you know because of the effect of technology on, this is going back to society in general, is that we hear not only about news faster, but we hear about more of it. And so this is like, a good example of this is earlier today, I was trying to look up how good a game was, because I was thinking about buying it, right? Little Big Planet 3. And, you know, back when, before the internet, it would be like, oh, you get that new magazine, and that magazine would tell you if the game was any good. And then after that, when the internet was kind of, you know, newish, when that kind of stuff, that kind of website started popping up, you'd go to that one website, and you get their opinion. You get that instant, you'd get that instant gratification of knowing, you know, you have an idea of, if you want to buy it, you look it up, you know. But now it's like, because we can, the first website I went to was the Metacritic, which has the, you know, rating of like 50 different reviewers and other users, you know, hundreds of other users, and it gives me that one score. So that's the thing. It's like, well, now I know what the mass thinks of it, you know, and that's the same thing. It's like, you hear about one kidnapping next, or, you know, that happens two cities over. That's how it used to be. Oh, you did, and it used to be like you heard it on the local news or something. Now it's like, oh, statistics show that there's a kidnapping in every state all the time. You know, it's like,
yeah, it's like every 10 minutes there's a kidnapping, you know, kid that's put in danger.
Yeah, whatever. And then you didn't hear about that because news doesn't travel that fast, and you don't. Not only did news not travel that fast, but it's just
generally also more localized.
Yeah, you get your local because that's what mattered. Yes. Right. But now it's like the local news just isn't enough because. Yeah,
They're covering more of what's...
Yeah, I get Amber Alerts for, you know, missing kids 700 miles away. I'm like, I don't think I can really help you out there.
Yeah, if they think...
Which could be a good thing.
Yeah, that could be a good thing. I mean, that...
Especially
yeah.
for Amber Alerts, because you never know how far the person... But at the same time, right, it can get a little bit overwhelming.
Yeah.
And...
Or like the weather alert for that big storm we had here in California a few weeks ago.
a little while. Our valley never got any.
Oh. Well, we were getting emergency alerts, and all the kids, think about it, all the kids, because those are mandatory to have on your phone, all the kids who had cell phones were getting those alerts too. That disrupted class, that disrupted everything. So that's another thing. So I think we're just hearing about it more, and that's another problem with technology is, I don't know if it's any more than it was 10 years ago, like these crimes and everything, but we do definitely hear about it more. So, John, I wanted to ask, I wanted to point out something about that I noticed with your kids. Not just your kids, but the kids that I've seen around them that have come visit or whatever, is a lot of these kids, it's like, okay, let's say John's parents or him throw a party, right? It doesn't matter what it's for. The group of family friends that they have, there's always kids there. Kids come, and all of a sudden, it's like, they don't want to be social. You know, they're not running around playing. They're either sitting in front of a TV, sitting in front of a tablet, sitting in front of a phone.
Yeah, no, I remember going to parties with my parents when I was a little kid. And I mean, a lot of times I'll, you know, be shy at first. But, you know, by the end of the night, you know, me and all the other kids, we're running around, we're playing, we're having a great time, we're sweaty. And,
yeah.
You know, and it's like, oh, I don't want to leave yet.
The last party you had with a jumper, how many kids used it?
Maybe five.
And those five kids went back and forth, and a couple of them were the older kids, the ones that are like 11, 10 years old. But a lot of the little ones, all they wanted to do was sit in front of a screen. You know? And it's like... So that's something interesting.
Well, for me, I made it to a point, no matter how addicted my kids are to their games, we always make a point that every time we go to a party, they're not going to bring... any of their devices.
But that's a newer thing that you did for them in the last, what, year?
Maybe? I've been doing it for at least a couple of years now. That's when I realized that how much it changed them, the technology has changed them. So I make it to a point, like, I still say it a lot. I mean, I still cringe when I go to a party and half of the kids there have their devices. Well, well, we're there for the party. We're there to celebrate someone's, like I said, birthday. But half of the kids are looking down and not even talking to each other. Or, you know, the only time they'll talk is when they're fighting about a game. But,
Go ahead. Well, okay, so something I kind of wanted to mention, that in relation to what we're talking about, I think there's also awareness of, you know, how consumed people get, or, I guess consumed people get when they're on their devices, and particularly in kids, how they are just, they block out everything else. And I had to read an article for my English class last quarter. It was talking about Waldorf schools. And so they're, if you don't know what they are, they're these expensive private schools, and they're the elementary school level. There is not a single computer in any of the classrooms, and they're discouraged to use computers at home. And I should also mention that the parents of these kids are generally people in the technology field. So I guess the purpose of it is really to have kids be, have better critical thinking skills, instead of having good skills on just looking how, on how to look things up. These kids, you know, they'll go on to high school also in the same system, and generally, like, just, I guess these kids are just really bright by the time they finish high school, that Berkeley is usually their, like, fallback school.
Oh, wow.
I remember hearing about that, because we were thinking about that for my son, but it's one of those things, like, you have to, when, if you do start the program, you have to pretty much on it until they're done with high school. I think that's how far it's going. Because if you take take them out, put them back in the public school, they will struggle. They have a different approach to education.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, but at the same time, it was a little bit pricey.
Yeah, it is. And I don't know I agree with it 100%. Because I think that there's that happy balance that needs to be found. And I think that our society is going to need to find that happy balance, or we're going to have...
going to be lopsided one way or another.
Yeah, because you still do have those kids out there that don't want to be in front of the TV all the time, don't want to, you know, be playing video games and on their phones, that they actually do worry about their school and they concentrate on it. Even though they may depend on technology for that, it's a different dependency.
But I think that really depends on the parents.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I mean, you know, you can have several devices, technologies, but if the parents are not there to moderate the kids will, like I said, will be very, very dependent on those devices.
And yeah, and I think that that's, it goes, again, it goes to that moderation, or, you know, that balance. And, you know, I don't have a kid yet, but I have sworn to my wife, speaking of her, but I have sworn to my wife that once we do have kids, that sure, I'm going to let them play video games, but only when I'm there to play with them. I'm going to take them out. I'm going to take them to the park. I don't care if there's not another kid there. I'm going to be with my kid out there at the park. I don't care if I can hardly run because I'm so fat and old. Okay, that won't be the case. But
mostly old. Yeah, definitely old. Yeah, I mean, yeah, there's no avoiding that. No. You're the oldest here.
Only by a few months.
Still 2 years older.
Oh, yeah, than you. So I won't let my kid get sucked into that. No matter how... I'm just not going to use a TV as a babysitter, you know?
But, you know, I mean, I can't speak on behalf of that, but I mean, I think it's probably easier to say now that you don't have a kid yet.
And that's, but I'm so adamant about it. That's right. What I mean. And granted, like I said, I don't have a kid yet, so I don't know what it's going to be like when my kid turns, you know, 3 or 4 and they really want that. But I think if you start when they're infants, I'm not saying to keep them away from TV when they're infants, because that's not, you know, that's not what you want to do. Interact with them while they're watching TV. Make TV that interaction, you know?
An activity rather than just something to pass the time.
Exactly. And because I'm not going to keep my kid from technology because it's all around. But at the same time, I don't want that to be the crutch that they rely on. So we are out of time on this conversation. I think this is really interesting, and maybe it's something we can revisit again in the future.
Part two.
Yeah. Any last thoughts on this for you guys?
Definitely moderation.
Yeah, moderation.
Yeah, we can't stop technology. It will be there. I mean, our kids will be way exposed more than us.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, considering how exposed we were growing up, they're going to be probably twice, 10 times more exposed.
10 times more, yeah.
So I think it's just up to the parents to be more, to moderate what the kids are actually getting into.
Yep.
So I mentioned earlier that I go to school with kids, and to be more specific, you know, it's a junior college, and I'm with a lot of fresh out of high school, you know, kids. I mean, I'm sorry, but I do consider 18, 19-year-olds to be kids. So that being said, my final thought on that is, if you're in class, get off your phone. Just for 5 minutes, get off your phone.
I agree with that, and I mean, that goes all the way down. I think that goes all the way down to the age I teach, all the way up through mid-20s right now, because yeah. I think until you're in that mid-25, and this is something we've talked about, Elliot, off the air before about, you know, your brain develops until you're 25. Until you hit that point where you realize that you need to start taking things seriously, that I think that, yeah, you're kind of still a kid. Even though you're an adult, you know, you still have a lot of kid mentalities. And that's not for everybody, of course.
Right.
But, you know, some of my students, I know that they're on their phone in the back of the room. But at the same time, so there's two groups of kids. And this is the last thing I'll say about it. This is my last thought. There's two groups of kids in my room. The ones that are blatantly on their phone and they're like, they think I can't tell. Right, and they're getting distracted, and they're, you know, not doing what I ask because they're on their phone. And then there's those few, which is very few, that's in the back of their room, text messaging, still doing their work, and like that whole balanced moderation thing. They're still doing what they need to do, but they're also being on their phone. Now, granted, that's not what should happen, but I also realize that there is that addiction. There is that pushback. If I was to take that girl's phone away, and I'm thinking of someone very specific, if I was to take her phone away, because I know she's on it every day, it would probably give the opposite effect of her paying attention, because that's a dependency. You're taking away a dependency. You're taking away a drug, basically. And again, that's a whole other conversation of technology as a drug. Maybe that's a good show for when we come back to this, technology as a drug.
Stay tuned for next episode.
Yeah.
Well, let us know if you want to hear about that.
Yeah, if you're curious about technology as a drug, the concept of that, I think that's really something we could get into. So let's get to our almost relevant picks of the week. And, Elliot, you're going to start this week.
Oh, am I? Okay. So, you know, I've been doing a lot of reading lately, and I, recently read Ready Player One.
Oh, who recommended that to you?
I don't know, some guy, some old guy.
And who's still on page 61 as you're pretty much done with the book?
So, it's, as the cover says, it's Willy Wonka meets the Matrix, and... You know, I don't want to go into it very much, but it's definitely, if you are more so a gamer in any sense, you'll probably appreciate the book a lot more, just because there's a lot of references towards games, but also towards like 80s culture,
social media.
So yeah, a lot of social media, a lot of It's a technology heavy book.
Yeah, definitely, and it's set in the
2044.
Okay, yeah, so near future. The reason I actually recommended this book to him was because I haven't read The Feed, which he talked about in episode like 4 or something like that. I don't remember
early on
3 or 4. I haven't read that, but he talked to me enough about it. I helped him with his essay and everything,
which. I only got an A minus, so thanks.
And
no, actually, no, you didn't help me with that one.
I read it over, though. Yes, oh, that's right, I read it.
Yeah, I still got an A minus without your help.
So, just imagine what you would have gotten with it.
No, the other paper you read got me an A minus. Oh, the other that you helped me with, I got an A minus.
So, it has a similar premises, only instead of a focus on social networking, I think it had more of a focus on gaming.
This one definitely goes more into... Okay, so Feed definitely goes more into, like, the technology being evil. And one is more of, like, oh, this is just kind of how it is. There are
Two different outlooks on what the future could hold.
Yes and no, because there are a couple characters in the book that are against the technology, and which I was happy to see, just because it takes other aspects into consideration, which I really like about it.
All right, and who's it by?
Ernest... Klein?
Yeah, that's what it looks like. All right, so if you want to check that out, I'll have a link to it on the show notes, but it's Ready Player One by Ernest Cline. How about you, John? What's your pick this week?
My pick this week is the show I've been watching on Netflix, where actually I finished. It's called Marco Polo.
Marco
Polo.
Oh, good.
So it's definitely it's a good show. It's only 10 episodes long. It premiered in December of 2014.
Okay.
I've been hearing a lot about it, so I decided to finally watch it. It's an hour an episode. It's about, of course, Marco Polo. His adventures in China with Kublai Khan. It's a really good show. It's really, really not for kids. That's why I says rated M. I do recommend watching it. It gets a little bit gory.
What genre would it be? Like, kind of
more
drama-like?
Kind of drama and action, because definitely his conquest with Kublai, with the Khan, and, you know, taking over. The first season is about taking over the walled city. And
so definitely not like a comedy.
Definitely not a comedy. Okay. Not definitely really, really serious. A lot of killing. So it's only 10 episodes, like I said, and it's I highly recommend it. The director is John Fusco, and there wasn't that many big actors in it, so it's like one of those things, like, you know, I wasn't really expecting much going into the show, and it kind of got me hooked. I finished it in 2 days.
Awesome. So. Awesome. Sounds good. Well, my pick this week is the TV show that's it's in the middle of its first season, called Star Wars Rebels.
Nerd.
Yes, exactly.
Nerd!
I meant to that.
At the time of this, I've watched the first 9 episodes, and I believe that I'm not sure. Well, I haven't. I know this series came back in January, but I've watched the first 9 episodes, which was before the new year. They cut off 9 episodes, and also back in December they were renewed for a second season. So I'm really excited about this. I've actually started recently watching Star Wars Clone Wars, and I just don't like that one as much. The characters in Rebels are awesome. They're mostly not characters that you've seen in any of the original 6 movies. And I heard this is going to tie into the new movie coming out.
Rumor.
Well, it says it's going to tie in somehow. Not the same characters, but it's going to, because this happens 5 years after the Clone Wars and 5 years before A New Hope. So it can't tie directly into the new movies. The cast is really awesome. It's about rebels, obviously.
I think it brought in the Inquisitor, which is I heard is going to be a part of the next.
I don't think the Inquisitor. I think he just came in, maybe in episode 9.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it's really cool. It has been renewed for a second season. I'm really looking forward to finishing this season off and then watching next season. It's just an amazing show. If you have Comcast, or I'm sorry, if you have any of the cable providers and have Disney XD, you can actually watch the whole season for free, up to whatever episode they're on when you listen to this. On Disney's website, you just log in with your cable provider, and yeah, you can watch the whole season. So that's really cool, too. If not, you know, just set your DVR.
I have one.
So that's my pick of the week. That's my off-topic pick. That's what they're called, off-topic, not almost relevant pick. What are we talking about?
I don't know.
Off-topic pick of the week.
You're going off-topic right now.
Yes, I am.
Okay. You should do an almost relevant pick.
Yeah, almost relevant pick. Oh, whatever. And so that's the end of our episode. Again, thank you, John, for joining us. Again, hope to have you back on in the future.
Thanks for having me.
Anywhere you want to tell people to, you know, stalk you?
Sure. When I actually get to play my PlayStation 4, I'll be JR France 86.
Oh, yeah.
Look me up there. Play some co-op game.
And
maybe Diablo or Dragon Age.
Maybe you'll actually be streaming on some Twitch.
Maybe.
That people can watch you.
Maybe.
And Elliot, you still nowhere? You know?
If you need me, look up Jeremy.
And yes, I'm at Soul Scribbler on the Twitter. And as for the podcast, email us and let us know what you think about this episode, any episode, or if you have a show suggestion at almostrelevantpodcast@gmail.com. You can find the show notes and all the back episodes, at almostrelevantpodcast.com, where we have our site now has been up for a while, and we hope you like it. And finally, facebook.com/almostrelevantpodcast. And just to, you know, say this, Elliot, at the end of every episode, I'm going to be asking the audience a question.
Okay.
And this is not on the episode itself, but on the show notes.
Okay.
So it'll be at the bottom of the show notes, and it'll pertain to the specific topic of this episode.
Are you testing them?
No. It's more like...
You should have been taking notes.
And, well, the reason I'm doing this is because I'd like to get some interaction on the website. I would like to, you know, if you have an opinion on something we've said here, go there and you're gonna hear about, you know, what you're gonna have a question from us about, you know, a prompt basically, how you can get started on talking about this episode. For example, for this episode, I might say something like, "Do you have kids who are dependent on technology, or on the flip side, do you have kids who are not dependent on technology? Tell us what your opinion is."
Or even you don't have kids, just your thoughts on it.
Oh yeah, of course.
Them damn whippersnappers.
Well, thank you for joining us on this 7th episode. We're very excited to be getting closing.
We're inching towards something.
I don't know. Closing in on episode 10 soon. We're really excited about that. I'm sorry about my language. It's not working today.
Almost relevant.
Yeah, it's true. And have a great week. We'll see you in a fortnight, actually.
Sure.
And as always, some upcoming episodes. We always got that cat one in the works. We're hopefully going to do one.
It's definitely a bait and switch.
Yeah.
You'll get it eventually.
Yeah, I got it.
We're going to do one, hopefully, well, definitely, no matter if we have the guest on or not, we'll do one about teaching in college. Mm-hmm. And a look at the master's degree and stuff like that. Hopefully in the near future we'll talk to an indie published author, besides myself. That's what I should plug every week in my book. Anyway, who is now been working in the industry for years, and she's making a great living, and a lot more. So if you have a suggestion, you know, like I said, do any of the previous, and let me know. Have a good weekend.
Opening song with "Our Wind in Our Sails," provided by Waleed Fighali. Ending song "Steampunk Girl," provided by John and Elio at johnandelio.com. And blast the cure and the snuts. It's a flask to her lips. Takes exit 22 and pulls in her parking space. Climbs up the fire escape. Steps into a bedroom and crashes onto her bed. Stockings from her legs. She looks in the mirror and thinks that it's time to start another life. So she's putting on her goggles and a bowler hat. She checks her pocket watch and just a rocket back. She laces up her boots and puts her makeup on. She grabs her leather coat and her Tesla gun. Used to be a gawking, now she's a steampunk girl. She dreams of brass and gaslight, imagines taking a trip on a steam-powered chicken. Stitchy ops of light to a sci-fi convention. Now it's her attention.